Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about...
It's super windy here. I'm doing a podcast on the Ben and Clara affair. This is Claretta, Mussolini's last lover. So this just caught me as a piece of tidbit information just to sort of unpack some of the complexity that was happening in a time where people were searching for a now solution. America will be great again, Italy will be great again type of solution. Starstruck Claretta Patissi was determined to conquer her divine Caesar and was finally strung up beside him. So that's an interesting thing. So this is a 5th of February article by Ian Thompson from 2017. As a child in fascist Italy, Clara Patissi, known as Claretta, was dutifully adoring of Benito Mussolini and the adult the cult of Duccissimo. She gave the stiff-armed Roman salute while at school. The Duce declared handshaking bay and unhygienic, and sang the fascist youth anthem Giovenzenza. Her father, the Pope's personal physician, was convinced, convinced fascist, for whom Mussolini was an incarnation of the animal cunning Furbizza, the manful fascist soul. Claretta herself would have to wait before she met the divine Caesar. Isn't that amazing? And we sort of have this as rugby players are our animal soul. One day on April 32, while motoring from Rome to the seaside resort of Ostia, so this is the ancient port of Ostia at Rome, she caught sight of her idol behind the wheel of his Alfa Romeo. "Follow him," she ordered her chauffeur. The cars drew level, and Mussolini pulled over to confront his pursuer. Patissi was 20; he was 49. But no judge of her, and by to judge her diaries, the first published in Italy in 2009, as Mussolini's Grotto, Secret Mussolini, the encounter was love at first. Let's turn the light and. It's blowing a gale here, so I'm just going to be very careful turning these pages over. At first sight. As the weeks went by, the doctor's daughters began to court the Duce in a decorous way. First by sending him perfume, billet doux, whatever those are. Then by calling him on the telephone. Before long, savage, ardent sex took place daily in Mussolini's headquarters in Rome. His vainglorious sexual boasting, "They say I've got the most beautiful body in Italy," worked on her like an aphrodisiac. Richard Bosworth, a research fellow at Jesus College, chronicles the Ben and Clara affair in his absorbing new biography, Claretta, in addition to his previous histories of Rome and fascist Italy. Unfortunately, for the gently reared Catholic girl, Claretta was engaged to another man, while Mussolini himself was married with five children. The grandly uniformed Duke surely looked incongruous with in her bedroom with his baby pink telephone. With her baby pink telephone? Oh dear. That is an amazing story, isn't it? And items of pink furniture. He had had relations or one-night stands with hundreds of women by now, perhaps as many as 400, according to the Italian journalist Roberto Alla, who in 2012 psychosexual biography Du un biografo Sensioli Mussolini provides Bosworth some of his material. Hitler's dealing with Eva Braun were frankly arid by comparison. At first, Claretta was burlesquely mauled by Mussolini under his desk or on the mattress like cushions installed for the purpose. Towards the end of his 23-year dictatorship, however, Duce's potency inevitably diminished, and he became addicted to the German-manufactured aphrodisiac pill, trademark Hormovim. My godfather. Taking this prototype of Viagra was, in some ways, a political act, as it served to prolong the myth of the juice as one of the one who never flagged. Not only did he squeeze women's breasts as if they were rubber automobile horns, in the words of one of the British biographers, he routinely made for their genitals, Trump style. My godfather. Until recently, Mussolini's sexuality was largely ignored by historians as being unworthy of study. Yet, it is central to the virile cult of fascism and the Juice's image of himself as a man of power and ardimento, physical daring. He radiated a godlike potency, a bull-like magnetism, according to Lerton. Her diaries amply quote here the record of the dictator's every movement and all his words to him. No matter how cringe-making or saccharine, I'd like to jump onto your bed like a big tomcat. Probably she wrote to Mussolini on the 7th of April 1926, when the mentally disturbed daughter of the Conservative MP, Violet Gibson, shot at the Juice at close range in Rome. The bullet missed Mussolini's head by a fraction, but sticked the tip off his nose. "Oh, Juice, why was I not with you?" the 14-year-old schoolgirl exclaimed angrily. "I could have strangled that murderous woman." Gibson came close to changing the fate of European history. Instead, she ended her days in 1956 in a lunatic asylum in Northampton, unswept, unwept for, and disregarded. Claretta never got the near-fatal gunshot and vowed to protect her Caesar divinity from then on. Initially, according to Bodsworth, Mussolini was had greeted Hitler's rise to power in 1933 warily. A racial dogma that glorified blonde northers conflicted some with the fascist cult of ancient Rome, Romaneta. Nevertheless, a latent tension had always existed between fascism and Italian Jews. Zionists, in particular, were seen by Mussolini as an inward-looking supranational sect. Immediately to the sturdy black shirt blonde of race and nation. "I've been a racist since 1921, he told. My God, I've been a racist. I hope you can hear over the noise of the thing. Isn't this amazing? There you go. Concludes. In April 1945, when the Juice's defeat was inevitable, Claretta was executed by anti-fascists and her body strung up alongside her lover in Milan, not far from the site where 26 years early the fascist party had been launched. A passerby is believed to have said, "One thing you can say of Petassi, she did have nice legs, a doll to the last." Isn't that amazing? Sorry, we'll see how this has actually gone. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.